Freunde, bevor wir jetzt hier anfangen, noch mal ganz kurz ein Hinweis in eigener Sache. Wenn ihr in Zukunft plant, euch Tattoo-Equipment zuzulegen, kann ich euch wirklich nur ans Herz legen, guckt euch vorher einmal eben kurz unsere Webseite an, www.tftn-podcast.com. Da findet ihr unter dem Reiter Deals nämlich richtig viele geile Deals. In den meisten Fällen bekommt ihr 10%, zum Beispiel bei Coal Black Tattoo Supply, bei Cheyenne Professional Tattoo Equipment, bei Killer Ink Supply, bei Chaos Nero und bei Muro Star, just to name a few. Die Liste wird ständig erweitert, deswegen guckt vorher vorbei, www.tftn-podcast.com oder über die Shownotes. Und jetzt wünsche ich euch viel Spaß mit dem Podcast. Bis später.
So many artists doesn't understand that we say, but can you explain to me why I cannot be in the Gods of Ink? And I explained to him, like, well, for example, a lot of that does black and gray.
Yeah.
And it say, like, for basically this reason, you have an excellent technique doing black and gray and everything, but the subject you tattooing is I saw over and over and over and over and over. You don't propose anything new.
Friends, welcome back. Today's edition of our podcast was created as part of the Gods of Ink Tattoo Convention 2023 in Frankfurt, which we were able to attend with the kind support of our friends from Killer Ink Tattoo Supply. Later in the podcast, we have a little deal for you, but for now, let's jump right into the talk with our guest. Okay, hello ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zeb Fury One. Welcome to another episode of the Tales from the Needle podcast. My guest today is very, very well known in the tattoo industry, and I'm very proud that he made it here. Welcome, Mickey Violetto.
Thank you very much. Hello to everybody that listens to this podcast.
How are you?
I'm very good, very good. Now very relaxed. All the stress is gone. It's been a very difficult task, but now everything seems amazing.
Yeah. How was the aftermath of the Gods of Ink convention? Like, was it much effort in afterwards?
Afterward, it was a huge effort because, when I stopped London because of the COVID and because of the death of my partner, Marcus Berryman, I was not sure if I was going to do something else. The reason why is because one of my lights since 30 years that I'm doing this job always been ethic. And by ethic, you never go to organize a tattoo convention in a city where there is already a tattoo convention. So basically in Europe, having two or three conventions every week everywhere, especially in the main city, it was very difficult. I got the different offer from different organizer to join them in the organization, but I always refused it because even if a place where and the city were very big, you know, there are many different factors that you have to consider before doing such a big thing like London or the Gods of Ink in Frankfurt. And so I was waiting till I got contact by my team in Frankfurt, and they told me the news that Tommy, that I know since 30 years, he decided to retire and go to live in south of Spain. And basically Frankfurt became available, and Frankfurt has been a great position because in the center of Europe, it has one of the biggest airports of all Europe. And so I decided, yeah, let's do it. And this is why I decided to do Frankfurt. And the biggest bet also, it was with all my partners that at the end, they did such an excellent job, but they never organized a convention before. So for this year, for me, it was very stressful because in the past, I always took in care for the 10 years I did the Milan convention or for the 15 years I did the London convention. I always taking care only about the artistic side of the show. On this adventure, I had also to imagine and to learn how to take care about all the logistic side. But luckily, my team was so great, so excellent, that everything I was saying and suggest, they were doing such an amazing and perfect job. And I was like, wow, it's very real that working with Germans is so fucking good. I mean, they were really, really excellent. And I was very nervous because I knew that the expectation, they were so high. And to be the same or even beat what I did in London for 15 years, as you can imagine, it was something that didn't make me sleep for week and week. Because, yeah. You know, being the first edition, the fail is always around the corner. I mean, I did everything I could to be sure that it was a success. But till you don't do it, you don't see what's happening.
Yeah, of course.
You never know.
Yeah.
But luckily, everything of my expertise of 30 years, I did everything I could to make the event as better as possible. For example, just to give you a small example, I took 180 tattoos less than London. In London, there were 500 tattooers. There were a little bit more than 320 in Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. And this because I did not have any record on people attendance, you know.
Oh, okay.
So you all the time you organize a convention, I always think first to the tattooer. I know the tattooer that come from America, from Australia, from Japan, from all over the world. They need to cover very expensive, the flight expensive, the hotel expensive, the food expensive, taxes, everything. And, you know, it's not enough. The money they make with tattooing, you have to assure them that they have to sell the print, they have to sell t-shirt, they have to sell so many different things. And the only way to be sure that tattooer work at their best is to limit the number of tattooer.
Yeah, true.
And make something more, but also that give me the chance to make an event even more of elite compared to London.
Yeah.
And it was not easy because you can imagine so many people say like, why I'm, I always been in London and now I'm not anymore at your show. But, you know, it's like people has to understand that I always work with meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's something like so many people say like, oh, thank you so much for inviting me at the Gods of Ink this year. I can't wait to be back next year. And I'm saying like, yeah,
probably
hope you
not.
Will be back, but no, probably not. I don't know.
Yeah. How many?
Because for me, every year it starts from scratch.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, this is why I was being told that the Gods of Ink hosted less tattooers than the London convention did. And I can only imagine how many applications you have gotten since then. I myself applied for this convention. We had a slight exchange of emails. And like, I don't want to be in your skin because like you are in the tattoo scene for how long? 20 years?
30 years.
For 30 years, you know, basically.
Actually, this month is my 30th anniversary.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I mean, the first magazine I did in, it came out on newsstand in January 1093, and I started to work in May 93. So, yeah, 30 years.
Oh, 30 years. How is the transition of, like, the traditional tattooing to the new tattooing world? I mean, like now with the digitalization, and you're the boss of the Tattoo Life magazine. I believe it's like the biggest tattoo magazine in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And because of all this digitalization stuff, you're also doing ebooks. And what do you think? How was the transition from the old times to the recent times?
Well, it happened very, very quick. It happened very quick. I mean, tattooing has a different step that make a huge change in tattooing. I think the first one, if we like to put a little bit of history, was during the 70s when Ed Hardy, that was the first tattooer that came out from an art school, decided to do custom work. It was the first tattooer that didn't show to his client only the flesh on the wall where they can choose from, but as his claim on the first business card from 73 was saying, like, wear your dreams, like, where people could express their idea and add, he was drawing exactly for the customer. And this opened up totally a new era for tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think the second step was in the 80s when MTV started to be on the air, because people start to see all this metal band and musician full of tattoos, and they wanted to emulate them. So tattooing became more and more popular. Then the biggest and step was, like, I guess, when I started, I was the first one that started a tattoo magazine in Europe and soon in the world, because it was the first time that tattooer could see, or people that wanted to learn how to make tattoos, they could see the work of all the best tattooer in the world. Before that, I still remember when in the 90s I was going, for example, to Luke Atkinson. He used to prepare every month package of photo, and he was sending to Philip, he was sending to Mick Tattoo, he was sending to Paul Jeffries, Henny Jorgensen, and everybody was doing the same.
Yeah.
Before Tattoo Magazine, tattooers that know each other, they used to send to each other every month package of photos, of print photo, of what they were doing.
Wow.
So Tattoo Magazine changed a lot of that, because finally you could go in newsstand and see, because if you were not friend with them, you couldn't have any access to these photos.
Of course.
So it was really impossible for all the tattooers to know what's happening. Because yes, there were some American magazine, like Tattoo Magazine from Easy Rider and the Tattoo Review from Outlaw Biker, but they were more only American magazine and concentrated more on biker tattoos.
Yeah.
So my first magazine, it was the first one that really showed an international panorama of tattooer. And that, it changed a lot. This is why so many tattooers still now, they told me, like, thank you so much, because with your magazine, you make me start to make tattooing. Then, after Tattoo Magazine, the big change was in 2005, when the first episode of Discovery Channel Miami Inc. was on the air.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That means tattooing went inside every single houses all over the world, and this take out any barrier of tattooing. Tattooing became something totally normal that your mommy used to see on TV, like your dad used to see on TV, so they were not scared about it anymore, and more people saw the TV and decided to become a tattooer. And the last things that changed a lot, it was the start of people that start to make machine, like the rotary machine, that everybody could use it. Because don't forget that with coil machine is way more harder to start.
Yeah, definitely.
Tattooing, because I mean, you are a tattooer, so you should know, of course, better than me. With a coil machine, if you're not able how to use it, if you don't know how to adjust it and everything, you can broke the skin, you can do a lot of damage. With rotary, actually, one of the producer one time told me that they were asking the engineer to build up a tattoo machine that everybody could use it without damage the skin.
Like plug and play.
And this is what happening. Like, it was so easy for all the new people that wanted to start tattooing to use this machine and don't make any damage on skin. Then it was just question of technical and artistic skill.
Yeah.
But it was way more easy to learn tattooing. Then, unfortunately, with all the new technologies that we have nowadays, that means Instagram and everything, unfortunately, I believe that tattooing nowadays never lived such a big lie. Never, like during this time. Because even my work to choose artists is so difficult now, because everybody use filter, everybody use special thing. And what you see in photo is not real.
Yeah, most. I mean, some tattoo artists even build a career of their Photoshop skills, right? So
exactly. So it's like many times people send me, the Instagram profile ask me to be publishing the magazine, and I ask, okay, can you send me photo without filter? And they say, like, what do you mean? I say, exactly what I mean.
Unedited. Yeah. The real deal.
And, but everybody, almost 80% of what I see is like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like people start to believe that tattooing is something that is not real.
Yeah.
And it's not real. And this is something that I feel very sorry about it.
How hard is it for you to, as you said, it's getting pretty hard to pick the tattoo artists nowadays. What impresses you about a tattoo artist? Like when you browse through the profiles, what's the point there to check it out, to see like, oh, wow.
Okay. You have to think that even if I'm not a tattooer, I'm working 30 years in this world, and I had such an amazing teacher. Like everything I know, first of all, I have to say it's Felix Löhr, because he's been my godfather, and he teach me so much about tattooing. I remember in the 90s, I was going to visit him 1 week every month. And all the time I was bringing magazine, and he was asking me, why you choose this photo? Why this tattoo is good? What is good? What is not good? How you see it in 4 or 5 years? And I had all this kind of a discussion with so many tattooers from more than 15 years.
Mm.
And still now, I still have this. So luckily, I think my knowledge helped me. When I see a photo of a tattoo, I can recognize what is true and what is not true. And especially, I see every photo with the eye of how it's going to look in 5 years.
Yeah, that's the most important part. I always tell my apprentice, like, listen, it's the fresh tattoo is basically nothing. You have to check it out like in 5 to 10 years. So you need to design it to be looking good in 5 to 10 years, because this is what the people were getting.
Yes. And thing that Hanky Panky used to say, I don't know if it was his claim or he took it from somebody else, but anyhow, he was saying that his tattoos were guaranteed for 24 days after rigor mortis.
Oh, okay.
And this is for me what is a real tattoo.
Wow. That's basically, yeah. But like when you see, just browse to the Instagram pages to see all these artists using Photoshop. And I mean, like, it's pretty hard as a tattoo artist to get a pretty good picture of your tattoo without doing some slight adjustments, but you don't want to fake it. You want to make it look as it looks in real. So this is my approach on it. But some people, like, they're using the black just looks unreal. And for the clients, it's also like something completely unreal, because it's getting them false expectations.
Totally. But the point is that the client, this is like what really amazed me, because I don't know, probably because I start to get tattooed in the 80s, right? Mm. Even if my career in tattooing was 93, I start to get tattooed in the 80s. And I mean, customers were kind of different people from today. That means that if I were getting something that was failed after 1 week or 1 month or 3 years, they were getting very angry.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the same that customer doesn't care, because otherwise I'm not explaining why there are so many people with so bad tattoos, and they continue to get tattooed by the same artist.
Yeah.
That they publish fresh, new, totally photoshopped one arm, and then you met them maybe in a convention or something with a tattoo that had 2-3 years, and it's totally a fucking mess.
Imagine,
but they're still going to the. It seems like everything is so quick nowadays. You know, people just when they see stories and everything on social media, they go like one, another. It seems like they think also tattooing is something that disappears very quick. I don't know.
I don't think so. Even what do you think about all this new AI stuff and technical inventions coming up in tattooing? Do you think like tattooing will still be around, like the, probably not the industry, but like, you know what I mean? Like, is the scene as it is today, is it still around like in 20 years because of all this technical stuff and all the KI stuff going on? AI, not KI.
I don't know. Because, for example, I saw so many designs from the AI, like you say, but it's like, how you want to call it? It's like today I see so many illustration of skin, but I don't see anymore so many tattoos.
Mm.
Right? And what I see is, like, to me, something like tattooing. Okay, if, to make you an example, for me, the real tattooing is like watching an oil paint, right? I never like it airbrush thing. Okay. Because, you know, airbrush is like totally cold for me.
Okay.
And now the new technology just show more and more airbrush stuff.
Mm, yeah, true.
So with what I always love, it means like the oil paint, like you could see it, there is nothing anymore. And everything that IE show is something like it's impossible that will stay. Even if with technology somebody will be able to do that design, it's like impossible that will stay, first. And second is, you know, before the tattooer, he had to be able to draw to be a tattooer.
Yeah.
Then with the iPad, people start to say, like, why are you drawing on paper? It's so easy on screen. You can correct, you can do this, and the program do everything else. Da, da, da. Now it seems like more and more tattooers are happy that they don't even use any more than imagination.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, for today, you can just use stamps, like use Procreate. Of course, I'm also doing it, like, using Procreate and using my iPad, but, like, it's, you have to, for example, like a cherry blossom, you need to know how to construct a cherry blossom to do, to make a stamp, for example. So if you're not able to draw it by yourself, you're not allowed, in my opinion, to use stamps for it.
Absolutely.
Because, like, you need to learn the hard way to get, like, the, to go the short circuit for it. Not short circuit.
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree.
I don't know how the tattoo scene will look afterwards. But when you're doing this big conventions, so you're actually not doing Milano anymore, I heard?
No, I quit Milan. I did it from 2003 till 2013. So I quit over 10 years ago.
I've been to Milano, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, when, for 2019, I guess, when Corona hit. But I was simply amazed of the quality that was displayed there, because, like, there's a certain increase of tattoo conventions. And this is also something I wanted to ask you about. What do you think, what makes a good convention, and how the future of tattoo conventions are going to be? Because, like, I just hear of decreasing visitors, and, like, every city has two tattoo conventions now.
I don't know. I think a good convention will always grow and grow. I'm not afraid about this. The problem is that, when I don't like to judge. I can talk about my work.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about other people's work. Mm-hmm. What I see, the only thing I can say about other people's work is that I see many times that there is not much, they're not really interesting, because many conventions has just tattooer, like mediocre tattooer that come from the area, or just a lot of young guy. And so why somebody should go to visit a tattoo convention that there is all the artists that are in the same city where the convention is? I don't really see a point. But as I say, everybody do what he think is good. I can tell what I do. I spent 1 year and already start, because every day I'm checking different profile. I do all my research.
Cool.
To find the artist that I want for next year. Like, I never publish description are open, you can ask now. No, I do everything by myself. I do all the research by myself, and I spend a year for doing this. And every year I do this. It's a job that I already started for next year.
Yeah. If you're doing it by yourself, like, how much time do you spend, like, browsing through Instagram profiles? And for me, how do you keep an overview of all the artists? Because, like I said, when you're around 30 years, you basically know everybody in the scene that is important or mediocre good. So what's, how can you keep an overview of all the artists? You write them down and say, okay, I want them. You have like a list where you check everybody.
It's exactly what I do. It's like I browse social media all the time, all the time.
That's just crazy. Also, like with the lists and stuff, and like I said, probably you get a lot of applications from friends and from other artists who apply for the next convention.
Yes,
there.
But my friends, they know that when I'm talking about the two convention, I, especially my tattoo convention, I don't look at any friends. For me, friendship doesn't exist. When I choose artists for a tattoo convention, of course, if I have to admit, if I find two artists on the same level, there are some artists that always support me in everything else I'm doing compared to somebody that never support me and just ask for a convention. So if I'm the same level, of course, I will choose the one that always support me.
Yeah.
This is like normal. But it's not that somebody support me is enough thing to be in my show. Not at all.
So it's possible that if you are good at tattooing and a very good tattoo artist and you are stumbling one day across his profile or her profile, it is possible that he or she can get an invite from you.
Yeah, like for example, just 3 days ago, I invited Dan Molloy from Australia. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, I know.
He's a really true and great artist. And I knew him, but I never got the chance, etc., etc., to talk with him. I just talked with him and I invited him for next year and was very happy to come. As I say, every year I like to change and every year is a new level.
And now, some advertising.
All right, people, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends from Killer Ink Tattoo Supply. And what can I say? This name should definitely ring a bell. If you are in the professional tattoo industry, Killer Ink is the leading supplier of tattoo products. And let me tell you, these guys are the real deal when it comes to professional tattoo equipment. They carry the top brands in the industry like world famous Tattoo Ink, Kurozumi, FK Irons, and many, many more. Yeah, they just have a gigantic selection of tattoo products. I can tell because I'm a client myself. They have everything you need, from needles and ink to machines and power supplies. But just don't take my word for it, folks. You gotta see it to believe it. And here's the best part. When you place your first order on killerink.com, you can use the code TFTN10 to get a 10% discount on your first purchase. That's right, folks. A 10% discount. Isn't that something? If you're not good in listening, you can also check out the show notes where we have written everything down. It's TFTN10, like Tales from the Needle, with a 10 in the back. And you can get a 10% discount at killerink.com. So don't sleep. Save yourself 10% on your first purchase at killerink.com.
Back to the show.
What's your favorite tattoo style that you like?
I don't have a favorite tattoo style, I think. Is in any style, I see what is powerful, what gives me emotion. Mm-hmm. Then it can be Yoji that is doing this kind of misty tribal and everything, or it can be Taku that is doing this fucking bodysuit that are amazing, or Gakin, or it can be Philip, it can be something done by Jack Rudy, I mean, or Carlo Torres. I don't have a favorite style.
So it's just something that, that impresses you, whatever works, can be anything.
And of course, in every of my convention, I try to represent every single style.
So you're looking out for that the person, like, for example, it's not like mostly realism that you're doing. You keep an eye on the diversity so that you say, okay, we have like 10 realistic artists now. Let's search for traditional artists or...
Yeah, of course. Of course. Also because so many artists doesn't understand that we say, but can you explain to me why I cannot be in the Gods of Ink? And I explained to him, like, well, for example, it's a lot of that does black and gray.
Yeah.
And it's a, like, for basically this reason, you have an excellent technique doing black and gray and everything, But the subject you tattooing is I saw over and over and over and over and over. You don't propose anything new. And I know who started this thing. You started this thing, for example, it's Carlo Torres. Mm-hmm. I invite Carlos that invented this thing. Not you, that you are an excellent copy, but of something I saw already 100 times.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, you are not interesting because you're just doing perfectly what somebody else is doing.
Mm. Have you ever heard or did it happen to you that somebody declined? Like somebody said, "Ah, no, I don't know." Not that he or she doesn't have time, but didn't want to attend the convention?
Not really. All the time, somebody denied for specific reason. Like, for example, in Mike Rubendahl.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be next year. This year, he say, "I'm very sorry, but the convention, it was close to Easter holiday."
Mm.
And in America, it's like the spring break.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So he told me, like, "I'm very sorry, but I plan this long trip with all my family, with all my kids, to go to the Bahamas since 1 year. And it happened during the convention time. So I'm very sorry, I cannot come." So you or Teresa Sharp was supposed to come. She got a big damage, and she got a flooding. Mm-hmm. In her studio that destroy all the studio and everything. So she told me, like, "I'm very sorry, this year I cannot come because I have this problem." So, yeah, or Grimey was supposed to come. Unfortunately, his father got an accident, a very serious accident, just 10 days before the show. So he wrote me, "I'm very sorry I cannot come because I'm running to see my father."
Yeah, of
and
course.
I have to stay with my father. So I got this, but not many people, never happened actually, but somebody tell me like, "No, I'm not interested."
Yeah, barely. Yeah, I mean, like this, it's just for familiar reasons and stuff. So it's totally
sometimes,
relatable.
Yeah, it happened to some people. Like, for example, I would always love to have Good Time Charlie, but is, for example, for him, is a long flight.
Mm.
Or Yoshi, you always wanted to come, but is have to go every few days in dialysis, so he cannot come. But as I say, for always for some reason.
Yeah, it's not, they just said, no, no, just because of reasons, but because of personal reasons or medicinal reasons. Crazy. How much time do you spend traveling, like, in your life?
Oh, I used to spend a lot of time. Lately, I prefer not to travel much, also because, as I said, I build up such, let's say, so many people respect me.
Yeah.
So even if I write to people that doesn't know me personally, they know who I am and what I do. So I always love it to invite personally in present. Unfortunately, it's not possible all the time to introduce myself personally and to invite somebody in my show. And I'm still traveling. For example, now I'm leaving next week. I have to go to California to the Sacramento Convention.
Oh,
that
nice.
Is a very good one. But before, I used to do every single convention. But also with the time change, a lot of interesting tattooers for me are not doing tattoo convention anymore, except maybe the Gods of Ink, except the Tattoo Planetarium in Paris, etc., etc. So many times, even if I go to different conventions, I see pointless because I don't meet artists that I really admire, unless the few ones that I already know very well. And sad thing, a lot of people doesn't know who I am. So it's like, and nobody has a almost portfolio in their boots anymore. Everybody has appointment already before, and everything is with social media. So unfortunately, social media, or fortunately, depends from the point of view, take you out a lot of reason to travel.
Yeah, true. There's nothing to be surprised anymore because everything is set in between and you can watch the people like Tattoo. You did a statement recently, right? About, I think, was it called the best of show, something like that?
It was maybe the end of the best of show because it was a provoke thing, and I was so happy about this statement because so many artists wrote me like, man, you make me think why we are doing tattoo convention. And I was starting to forget the reason why you do tattoo convention. The reason why I do a tattoo convention is not, I know it's very important for somebody to win the best of show because, for example, to Julian Siber, he changed his life.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine, yeah.
When he win the best of show in London with a full front, totally changed his life because it's like from 15,000 followers, he arrived in a few weeks to 60,000, and he's been called in so many conventions, so many things, etc., etc. So I do understand this, but in the... At the same time, the convention is done for the public,
true,
not for the ego of the tattooers.
Mm.
So I understand if a tattooer can spend 1 day, 2 days just on a single piece, etc., etc., but spending 3 days on a single piece to me is not acceptable anymore. Because first of all, the quality is not the same as in the tattoo studio. Second thing, many times people had to take so many anesthetics, so many pills and everything that is really dangerous for their life. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I've seen Julian working. He was working also at my shop when the lockdown was. And I always ask myself how the people deal, how they can handle like 3 days in a row. And with Julian, I can tell because I've seen it with my own eyes. It's pure psychology. And it's pure something, you know, there's no numbing, there's no anything, there's just, okay, buy the ticket, take the ride, and here we go. So this is something pretty much impressive, but I know what you mean, like, but how is it, like, for me, for example, because I'm, like, on the same path to building up a career or trying to build up a career, there's basically rare things to get your career elevated than tattoo conventions, because I know so many artists who are so crazy good in what they do, but there's barely a chance for them except for tattoo conventions to get their work out, you know. For me, I don't attend like contests too much because sometimes it's always bad blood, you know, like you've seen people win and somebody's jealous of the other.
Yeah, but also because if I have to say, in so many conventions, I see the judges and, well, I mean, I don't tell you the name of the convention, but I tell you this, this story. I think, yeah, Gods of Ink, winning the contest of Gods of Ink is very important. Winning the contest of Tattoo Planetarium is very important. And I'm sure even winning contests in other show is important, right?
Mm.
But in so many, I just give an example. It's like I was judging in an important and international tattoo convention, and the judge was me, Mao, Tenten, and a Polish photographer.
Uh-huh.
Basically, we judges the tribal thing, and unfortunately, there were not many good tribal.
Mm.
And I remember I gave one piece, I gave three, Mao gave three.
Mm-hmm.
The Polish guy didn't know nothing about tattooing, and he just wrote seven because I don't even know why he was there, just because he was a photographer for a magazine, but doesn't mean he understood nothing about tattooing. So anyhow, it was the person to give seven. I gave three. Mao, three. And Tenten, he draw a flat dick, like very dumping.
Yeah.
And this guy, anyhow, he win the third place because the other one was even worse. So what I'm saying is, like, in so many conventions, winning contest doesn't really mean a lot, unless so many good artists are competing with you.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's also depending which convention you are compete.
Yeah.
And who are the guy that, because of course, if you win the back piece in the God of Ink, and there is three back piece from Deozu, two back piece from Shige, one back piece from Philip, two back piece from, okay, then that means that the winner is a really good one.
Yeah.
But if you compete with other people that, I don't know, I mean, I don't know how important it is. Maybe it's more important to try to send photo and to be published by Sirius magazine, Sirius blog, and everything. That maybe can help you. I mean, just go where there is meritocracy and a good competition.
Yeah, I think meritocracy is a pretty good word for it, because sometimes I feel that right currently it's mostly not with your convention, but like with most of the conventions that I gotten to recently, that it's about how the tattoo was done. Like, let's say six people on one back piece or whatever.
This is why I don't allow them anymore. Like in London, there was the Rat Pack, as you remember,
yeah,
probably.
I remember.
I don't allow this performance anymore.
Yeah, because it's not about the tattoo, right? So it's just how it's gotten there, but it doesn't make probably a good tattoo. So just if it's done in one day, it's probably not the best quality you can get. So
yeah, this is why I don't allow this anymore.
I think it's better, because the other thing is just show. It's not about tattooing anymore there.
And again, the reason why there is a convention is to give the opportunity of the visitor to get tattooed by their favorite artist. This is why I ask every single one, like, okay, I understand you have to cover your expense. I understand everything, but I'm doing this thing for you, like, because, you know, for example, taking 180 tattoo or less, that means you don't take lots of money from the booths, but your expense are exactly the same. So you do this for the tattoo artist. So it's always a respect thing to ask in exchange, at least keep a walk-in available for the public.
Yeah.
Because everybody that even doesn't book an appointment should have the luck, if they go inside the tattoo convention, to go to find their favorite artist and get tattooed by them.
True. What about running like a new show concept where you're just doing plain walk-ins? Like every tattooer there just takes walk-ins.
You can't. I mean, you're a tattooer, you should answer by yourself. How somebody that do realistic can do walk-in?
I think like if it's advertised like this, it's probably possible, but it's bare that like...
No, it's not possible. I saw so many people that they have an appointment, they have a stencil, everything is ready, they have to do on the leg. At the last minute, the customers change and say, I don't want in the leg, I want in the arm.
Yeah.
Okay, no, it's not possible. I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah,
so
true.
I truly understand that some artists need preparation, need to work before on the design, to be ready to do in the convention. I understand. So I'm not asking people that do the realistic thing to accept walk-in. It's way more difficult for them.
Yeah, true.
But this is a part, but there is so many other artists that do ornamental, that do tribal, that do Japanese, that do traditional, that do other kind of thing.
Where it's possible.
That they can do walk-in. And I'm not expecting they do walk-in for 3 days, because as I said, they had to recover a lot of money.
Yeah.
But at least one or two, they should keep the time to do at least one or two walk-in.
Yeah, this was something that was pretty positive about the convention. I was there also in Frankfurt this year, and I thought like at first it was like I met whole tattooing Germany there, so it was crazy about the visitors. It was, I don't know how much the percentage of visitors who were just tattoo interested were and how many percentage of tattooers, but I've seen like almost everybody there. And for me it was funny because like as you see in this kind of elite convention where you see the best tattooers in the world, that it's actually possible to get a walk-in. And I thought that it was pretty sympathetic.
Yeah, because this is what I personally ask to every single one.
But I like the attitude about it. But let's go a step back to you. Have you ever tried tattooing by yourself? You ever tried
it? Yes, I did few tattoos on tattooers. I tattooed Gianmaurizio Vercioni, I tattooed John Dix, I tattooed Alex Reinke, I tattooed Danny Boy. I tattooed a few tattooers. But if you see what I've done, you understand why I choose to be a publisher and a tattoo promoter.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, like, also like a tattoo, what is a tattoo for you? Is it about the art or is it also about the situation? Because like some people have like tattoos that are pretty shitty, but it reminds them of somebody, you know?
Yeah, me too. I have many. I mean, I was the first one that convinced Herbert Hoffman after, you know, Herbert Hoffman retired in Constance, yeah, many years ago. Then the two guys, the Olli, I think, I don't remember the guy from Berlin, that did a book about him. They start to bring him in tattoo convention again and everything. But he never, it was something like 15 years, he was not tattooing. And when he was in Milan, I convinced him to tattoo me for the first time after 15 years.
Oh,
and he did it his anchor and everything. And after that, then he started to do so many. And I tell you, seeing all the rest, he did much better than the one of me. What he did of me after 15 years, it was totally shitty. But for me, it has such a big memory and it's so important that, of course, I don't care about
how it looks,
the result. And same like this, yeah, I have a lot of small tattoos that are memory for me, and I don't care about the quality.
So you use it also, your body, like as a diary that has like...
Yeah, of course.
What's your favorite tattoo that you got?
I cannot tell you because basically I have the full body by Philip. 80% is done by Philip. So I cannot really tell because even if I start in 93, the design... It was already my full back piece, my stomach, my leg. It was all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't have many different tattoos, but I have a big tattoos that go all around my body.
Yeah. You're planning on doing like your hands and fingers and neck?
No. Neck, I have.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I have, and it's the last tattoo I did with Philip. I did it 2 years ago because after 28 years, I thought I deserve it.
Yeah, true. Very true.
And I had already, my only place where I don't have tattoo is like my hand, my face, my head, and my genital. All around my genital, I'm tattooed. Everywhere else. And my feet, also my feet are not tattooed. Doing the hand, I always love it to do the hand, but now see so many young people that the first tattoo they do is on the face and on the hand. Yeah. Is my way of not doing my hand is a kind of a silent protest of this new generation.
Mm. Yeah, I'm also friends like with, you probably know him, like Gordon Klaus from Bottrop. He's also doing Japanese stuff from Black Tie Tattoo.
Yeah.
And Gordon also, he's around for 25 years, I guess now. And he's also not tattooed on the neck. You can see who's in the tattoo scene for so long because these guys, they don't have hand tattoos. They don't have finger tattoos, no neck tattoos. So if they are completely dressed, you don't even see that they are tattooed. Because it was like this.
It's the same with biker club. I love this. Like, I've been in a biker club, right? I've been in the most famous biker club in the world. And all the time, you see a guy in a biker club, you can tell since how many years he's in the club. Because you see the young one that is full of memorabilia. Everything reminds the biker club, from the t-shirt, from the pin, from the side rocker, etc., etc. The oldest they get, less memorabilia they have.
Yeah.
And it's the same, more or less, what you say. But if you have a full body and everything, you don't really need it. As I said, I would love it. Personally, I would love to have my hand tattooed, but it's like, as I tell you, a silent protest.
Yeah. But I think it's fair enough to do it like this. I mean, nothing left to prove, right? And
exactly.
Do you still drive motorcycles?
Oh yeah, of course.
What kind of motorcycles? Harley?
I have a couple of Harleys.
Is it like you live in Italy, right?
Yes, in Milan.
In Milan, what's the best go to area to drive motorcycles in Italy? Is it Milan?
Well, as soon you go out from Milan, 30 kilometers, you are in Italy. Is so beautiful in every direction. If you go north, you are on Lago, on Como Lake. You are on Lago Maggiore. You are in the Alps and everything. If you go west, you go to Garda Lake, all the hill of Verona that are beautiful. You go south, you can go in 1 hour, you are on the seaside, like Cinque Terre and everything. Italy is such a beautiful place to ride everywhere.
It is, definitely. Have you ever crossed the Alps with your motorcycle?
I got, when I was very young, I got so much respect from a lot of tattooers at the time. They were biker.
Yeah,
right. I did my bike license when I was 16, and I did my car license when I was 28.
Okay.
And when I started my job, I was 21 years old. I had at the time an intruder, and I did 278,000 kilometers before change the engine, and I did another 125,000.
Wow.
And I got respect because even in early springtime, but in Germany it was raining and everything,
like
they
always
see me arrive. Weber saw me arriving with motorcycle in Berlin. The next week there was Bordeaux Convention. And they saw me again with a motorcycle that I was crossing all Europe, then Amsterdam. I mean, I travel with my motorcycle all over Europe for over 10 years, wow, going from convention to convention. This is why I was so young and I got respect, because, as I say again, luckily, Ralph from Fine Line Tattooing was a biker. And yeah, all the time I was going to his convention, he saw me like, "Are you coming from Italy with a motorcycle?" I said, "Yeah, of course." And same thing when I was going to Amsterdam, same thing when I was going to Berlin, same thing when I was going to Stuttgart or Barcelona, Madrid. I was riding my motorcycle everywhere. It was my dream life.
And then all of a sudden you changed it? Or you, like, when was the point when you thought, okay, it's probably better to stay somewhere?
No, actually it changed. Well, I did the car license when I got married, but during winter in Milan, my wife looked at me and said, "Like, fuck off, I'm not going to do the grocery store on the back of your motorcycle under the snow." So I had to do the car license.
Oh, cool. When you've been around so much, what was your favorite place to travel so far? It can be with tattooing, but it's not a must.
Well, it was like, for sure, the most beautiful country to ride motorcycle is Italy, Switzerland, France, and Spain. Not really Germany, because it's all flat.
Yeah.
Not really Holland, because it's all flat. Beautiful also Czech Republic, because it is so green, but even if it doesn't have a lot of mountains, it's still very beautiful. And I'm talking in Europe. Then, of course, I ride all over America.
Mm-hmm.
And over there is very beautiful, especially not the East Coast. The East Coast is boring. It's really boring. But I did one time, I did in 14 days, 8,700 kilometers. And I did from San Francisco to, in one day I went to Reno, Salt Lake, Salt Lake City in Utah. I crossed all the desert and arrived to Durango in Colorado. Then I went to Las Vegas, South California. Then I, from San Diego, went up to Los Angeles, went to the Sequoia Park. Yeah, that was an amazing ride.
Oh, that sounds perfect. I also ride motorcycle, but not that that regular. I had to sell all my motorcycles because they broke down, and I'm not like a. Are you doing a service by yourself? Or you?
No.
Ah, okay.
No.
You're probably too busy doing it, right?
No, it's because I'm somebody like, if you sit on a motorcycle, I have no problem to do. I did many times Amsterdam Milan in one day, that is 1,300 kilometers, like no problem at all. But I'm not so good to fix a thing with my hand.
Yeah, we have other qualities.
Yeah, exactly. I'm way better to use my brain than my hand, I have to say.
Yeah. What are your plans for the next year? Like what's up, where are you going? What projects do you do in the next time?
Oh, I have many projects of different books. I'm preparing now one of my favorite books. It will be about Orihiro, all his painting. And I'm already working on that. I'm already working on the new book about Spider Murphy that is going to be totally new. I'm working also, I just received today something like 900 original drawings from Ichibei from another book. Wow. And so I'm concentrated with that. I'm really excited about next year of Gods of Ink because it will be way better than the first one, even if hard to believe, but it will be way better than the first edition because I saw many things that didn't work and it will work better next year. And I have already so many people that want to come, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm concentrated on that and we'll see.
Yeah. So I think this year's edition of the Gods of Ink, I haven't heard anybody saying, oh, it wasn't good because it was really, really, really good. The only thing that I heard that was an issue was because of German regulations.
I know. This is why, this is what I say, one of the mistakes that it will be not next year.
Okay. Yeah.
It can be fixed. So it will be not a problem next year, the German regulation.
Yeah. We are pretty excited. So thank you so much for your time. We have a slight tradition here at the Tales from the Needle podcast. So the guest has the last words. You can say hi to the people you want to say hi to, or you can just leave your Instagram here or pitch your projects that you have, whatever, the stage is yours.
Well, I say all the projects I already talk about it. I, of course, I would like to say thank you for all your followers that listen my word. I hope they were interesting for them.
Of course.
And if I want to follow what I do, it there are free Instagram address to follow. That is Gods of Ink Tattoo Convention, Tattoo Life Magazine, and Mickey Vialetto.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mickey. Hope to see you again next time, maybe after the next Gods of Ink convention. I will be definitely be there again to talk to people and probably we see each other in person that time. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great day and all the best for you, your projects. And I hope the weather is perfect in Italy to go out for a motorcycle ride.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
See you soon.
Thank you much. Bye.
All the best.
Ich hoffe, dass es euch Spaß gemacht hat. Ich hoffe, dass ihr euch gut unterhalten gefühlt habt und ein bisschen was mitnehmen konntet. Wenn ihr Rückfragen zu gewissen Themen habt, was auch immer, lasst es uns gerne wissen. Ansonsten würden wir uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr uns bei den gängigen Streaming-Portalen bewerten würdet. Erzählt auch gerne euren Freunden davon über einen Shoutout auf Instagram und anderen Social-Media-Kanälen. Freuen wir uns natürlich auch immer. Support ist kein Mord. Denkt dran. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder bei Tales from the Needle. Vielen Dank. Ciao.